Are you a real estate investor looking to sharpen your skills? Or a newbie looking to become one? You're in the right place. Welcome to Where Should I Invest? Real Estate Investing in Canada with your host, Sarah Larby.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to podcast number 4. Today, we are going to be talking about Caledon, Ontario, which is just north of Brampton. And we have Gretty Raposo, who is going to speak to us about that market. And she started when she was just 18, 19 years old and bought a property that was sitting on the market for about a year and decided to flip that while she was living in it. And she actually started very young with her father and shadowing what he was doing. So really, really interesting. And then we're going to talk about the market specifics, the fundamentals, population, and what's happening in that region. So some really, really exciting things. And if you guys could take a moment and rate the show as well as provide any feedback, that would be awesome. Let's get on with our show.
Hi, Gretty. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you including me in your podcast.
No problem. I'm excited to have you and to talk about Caledon and your investment knowledge and expertise as well.
Great.
So before we get started, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a real estate investor. I've also had a solid career and track record as a senior leader holding executive roles in the transportation and supply chain industry. Real estate was somewhat of a passion of mine, and I felt it was a good vehicle to help create a passive income stream, especially going into retirement for future potential. I've never really been big on RSPs, and not to say there's anything wrong with that, but I always felt that I could have a greater return and a better future with real estate. How I really got into it, it's kind of an interesting story, or kind of funny in one regard, in that I was really a young child following my father around. My parents were very strict and didn't believe in having babysitters, so I was always following them, so to speak. And my dad actually started investing in real estate when I was a young child, so I would go with him, visit his properties. He had land purchases, other houses that he invested in. He was renting those out. And I learned very early on when I started hearing him, you know, speak to his lawyers and real estate agents and hearing about the return on investment that he was getting, I really thought, gee, you know, this obviously is a really good way to make some money and generate some passive income. So it's really how I got started for the most part. It was really my dad who got it, ingrained it into me, I guess you could say.
Great. So how old were you when you started seeing him buying properties?
I was probably like 5, 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. Yeah. And as a teenager, I would just start researching the market, and I would look at all the markets and look at prices of homes and that sort of thing. And I bought my first property straight out of school pretty much when I finished college. So going back about 19, 20 years ago, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I didn't have a lot of money when I was getting started, but knew I definitely wanted to get into real estate. So I found basically property had been sitting on the market, mostly dormant for over a year. Nothing was happening with it. Needed some work, but I thought, you know, it was a really good opportunity. It was a cheap property. I think I paid $83,000 for it. And I was able to turn a really good profit, you know, did some renovation and made over 60% return on my investment in a relatively short period. So after doing that one, I thought, you know, this is working. I'll continue to try that again. But unfortunately, in the beginning, I had to move into these properties in order to be able to afford it. So I was buying them, renovating, flipping them, and turning them around as fast as I could. And then eventually got into buy and hold properties, which is what I'm doing today.
So how did you come up with the down payment for the first property?
It was tough. I was working and fresh out of school, not making a ton of money, but I was saving as much as I could. And I only needed $6,000.
Wow.
So the property didn't cost me all that much. So for $6,000, I was able to turn out a profit of like almost $60,000 in a short period of time. And I didn't have to put a lot into it. What I needed to do was really more cosmetic. So I found it really important when I was buying properties after that, as well as try and find anything that's cosmetic, not so much structural, and something that you can do very quickly to turn around. And had really good success, went on and bought land in a new development after that. Actually, the development was about 7 years old, but it was, a couple of lots that were left over. Saw an opportunity there and had hired a contractor to build a brand new home and was able to turn that one out rather quickly and made another substantial return on investment. So just kept going like that and then started holding on to properties. Ideally, if you can hold on to them, then you start leveraging your equity and you can keep growing from there. So that's pretty much how I got into it.
That's great. So when you started getting into it, did you get any help, advice from your father, or was it you learning by yourself?
You know what? The first one I was talking to my dad about, he gave me some advice, of course. And then after that, I just kept going and learning on my own. My dad was very good and, you know, he would give a little bit of advice, but he'd also stand back and really let me grow and do my own thing, which was fantastic. So if I needed him, he was there. But for the most part, it was just trial and error and learning on my own. I did a lot of research, like I'm very analytical for the numbers and stats that would come with looking at the properties and what I felt the return would be worth. I felt very important before just going in and making a blind purchase, for instance.
Yeah, that's really important. So you were living in the beginning in the flips, like it was a live and flip type of thing?
Yeah, that's how I started. And then after that, I started doing buy and holds. And part of key element here is I also became a realtor along the way. Some of the frustration I had early on, as I was becoming more successful in my career, I was traveling and didn't have a lot of time to devote to doing research. And I found it challenging working with the conventional realtors. They weren't really either willing or maybe knowledgeable in terms of, you know, how to turn a profit in investing in real estate as a career, so to speak, or to really generate an income. So I ended up, you know, becoming a licensed realtor with Century 21 and using that to my advantage to really help me on the real estate side and investing side, and then started branching out and helping others, you know, purchase investment property and also breaking into the market.
Yeah, it is really important. There's that debate about, you know, should a realtor or an investor become a realtor, or are they better off not doing it? And there is definitely some pros and cons to both. And it sounds like for you, it's worked out well in your favor and you've been able to help with the information and the knowledge, because there are a lot of investors out there that are trying to get in and they're not necessarily using the right realtor that has that information and can run the numbers.
Exactly. I found that to be, like I said, my toughest challenge, that I wasn't getting the key numbers to show me cap rates or return on investment and really be able to quickly make sound decisions. So I found I was wasting time visiting properties that I didn't think would be good investment properties, or that required too much work and too much capital to actually turn a profit. You're right in saying that, you know, there's a fine line in whether you should become a realtor. There's a lot of expense with doing that, high monthly costs, you know, annual fees to keep up your license and registration and all of that. But for me, it's worked out well. I'm able to, I feel, be completely in charge of my full destiny in doing so. I have full visibility into what's happening in the marketplace. And I can help other people from an investment point of view with giving them the right information, generate realistic returns, and helping guiding them to what's happening quickly with the market.
Right. I mean, that's really important. And it sounds like you have quite a bit of knowledge in different aspects of in real estate. So the buy and hold, the flipping, and you know how to turn a profit different ways, which is nice.
Right. Exactly.
So where are your properties currently?
I currently have property in Toronto, Huntsville, and the Muskoka area, and also in Caledon. Caledon is probably one of my favorite markets. I also live up here, so I have hands-on exposure to what is happening in the marketplace. But it's also growing at an accelerated pace. There's so much happening from a development point of view here, especially as farmers are aging. You know, land is becoming more and more available for development. It's also an interesting pocket in the sense that we're finding people are coming up from Brampton, Vaughan, you know, Mississauga, some from the GTA. They're looking for an opportunity to purchase property here in a market that's growing quickly. More green space is also available. And as a result, it really is a good sector to get into.
So just for those that don't know exactly where Caledon is and what area that consists of, are you able to, you know, geographically help investors know where exactly Caledon is and then at which sections of, you know, make up Caledon?
Absolutely. So Caledon is situated north of Brampton. So you have Mississauga followed by Brampton, and then north of that is the Caledon area. And north of Caledon is Orangeville. So the sweet pocket in Caledon, for me, I think you have Bolton, which is more developed, and then you have more commercialization happening there, which is like 10 minutes east of Brampton. You have the Caledon East pocket, and you also have West Caledon with Southfield. So there's a lot of new development that's happening in those particular areas. rural Caledon is also nice. Ironically, there seems to be a new trend of people wanting to come up and buy more acreage. You know, I'm hearing professionals wanting to have, you know, 2-acre properties and slightly larger properties to have more space and privacy. I think the urban areas like Toronto, you know, it's so congested. So people are looking for an area to get away and have a little bit more space. So they're coming up and you have an opportunity to really buy up properties in rural Caledon, which is also quite nice as well.
So you're definitely the expert of Caledon, in my opinion. And when you're working with a lot of investors currently, what types of properties would you recommend that they look at in Caledon?
Caledon really is an area that's made up mostly of single family homes. And we do have some semis and newer townhomes that have come up into the area in the last 5 to probably 8 years. So you're going to be looking mostly at those types of properties. There are only a few apartment buildings in Caledon. It's not a big apartment complex or condo market at all. So you're really looking at, you have either brand new builds or new homes within the last 5 to 7 years, or older properties. And there's a great opportunity to really turn a profit on older properties surrounding the newer developments that you can get in. If you're interested in flips, you can get in and start renovating those and make a good return. I think realistically, you can expect probably, depending on how much work is involved that you're doing yourself or contracting out, but you can probably expect a good return of about 30%, which is fantastic, I think, if you're looking at a flip in today's market.
Yeah, it does sound pretty appealing. Now, what are some of the prices? So if somebody was to find an older house and want to upgrade it and, you know, flip it, what do the numbers look like?
Yeah, so the price points, if you're looking for a flip, I'd recommend in some of these older neighborhoods, you're looking at somewhere in the 5s and 6s. And if you can get a property in that price point, you're going to turn a really good profit. They're selling, we're seeing a turnaround of like in the 9s. Depending, like I said, on what you're putting into it, if you're looking at a property that's more cosmetic, obviously you want to try and stay away from anything that has structural challenges with it. You can turn it around at about 9, greater than 9, but a faster turn would be closer to 900,000. So still a really good opportunity in that regard. If you're looking for buy and hold strategies, there's so much development going on. The average price of a single family home in the Caledon East or West Caledon pocket's going to run you in the 900 range, but the rate of growth is fantastic. So we're seeing, you know, 30% this year over last year in sales price changes that can grow. And 5 years, you're probably looking at about the forecast is 60%. Over 10 years, well over 100%, 107 plus. And I think that is very conservative based on what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years. And we're actually seeing closer to like 60, 70, 80% growth, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is pretty fantastic. So in terms of student rentals, or are there any post-secondary schools or colleges or anything around that area?
Colleges, this is really more of a bedroom community for the most part. So colleges you're going to have to commute to. Humber College is probably the closest. You know, most people are commuting out. They're going to Brampton, Mississauga, and surrounding areas. And you will find some apartments that are made up either basement apartments or upper floor apartments. And like I said, there are a few apartment buildings, but not too many. Probably you're going to be looking at about $700 to $800 per bedroom if you're looking to rent. So decent rental income. If you're looking at townhouses, you're probably renting those out for 1,500 square feet to 2,000 square feet. You're going to be anywhere from around $1,600 to $2,000 a month. So decent income there. Single detached homes, again, the smaller ones, you're definitely in the $2,400 to $2,500 a month. The larger homes are going to run you over $3,000. And then you have actual people who are professionals coming in and wanting maybe bigger property. You can actually rent out estate properties, and then you're in the, you know, 4,000 plus range. Wow. So you do have a wide range of possibilities from a rental income. It's not a huge rental area in the sense that if you do have an apartment to rent out, the competition isn't that high. So you can do quite well here renting out properties. Our vacancy rate is probably about 17%.
17% vacancy rate?
Right.
Okay. And what about when it comes to short-term furnished? Is there any demand for that? Are you seeing that out there?
Short-term furnished, not so much, no.
Okay. So a lot of the single-family properties are what works the best.
Yeah.
And what kind of tenants are looking for these properties?
Well, you're getting a lot of professionals who are coming up, like Brampton, Mississauga, Toronto. They're looking for a little bit more land, nice community. And one thing about Caledon is you have a fantastic community. So all your amenities are pretty much in town, from your hair salons to your banks to, you know, the 24-hour grocery store, the LCBO, your medical clinics. Everything's pretty much right here. You only really need to venture out if you're looking for, you know, more apparel or larger shopping, which you're only like 20 minutes away for the most part. So you have everything here. And recreation is huge. So people who are interested in trails and, you know, the athletic, or they want to be out doing recreational activities with their families, you have a really good community here for that. So, you know, the Trans-Canada Trails here, the Bruce Trail is here. You have your recreation centers right in town, you know, offering a variety of camps for young families, soccer clubs, you know, a variety of sports. So there's really a lot to do here, which is fantastic. And if you compare that to other areas, like other people looking to branch up to a Nobleton or Kleinberg that are in the neighboring area, you're saving yourself about $200,000 in real estate value as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is really good. Now, are you seeing that the population is growing in the Caledon market?
Oh, absolutely. Current population is sitting around 69,000, just under 70,000. And it's grown quite slowly but steadily, about 18% since 2001. But there are three new developments coming, so that's going to change very quickly. Right now, there's a plan in place for about 1,000 new homes coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The Pathways community was just built in the last 5-6 years as well. So that's going to be expanded on just crossing this lake. So that's definitely going to change. You know, the town of Caledon has also done a joint study with the Region of Peel, and they're really looking at changing amenities and further developing, helping with transportation. And there's going to be, by 2021, a plan to bring in another 5,900 jobs into the area. There's about 2,900 businesses now. But by 2021, they're talking about another 5,900 jobs, bringing in almost 1 million square feet of commercial use space. And that's going to, in turn, bring in more schools, you know, parks, recreation, and all of that. So it's really going to be an area that's going to be up and coming with more development. So anyone who's looking to get in, buy and hold strategies here, I project there's going to be considerable growth, obviously, as a result of all the initiatives that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was mentioning, the 60% growth plan for 5 years, I think, is really conservative. I see that closer to 100% growth as a result of the new development.
Now, there's some investors that will probably look at cash flow as well. Is that not as much in play just in terms of looking at more appreciation in this case, or is there still cash flow to be made if somebody just buys and holds?
Oh, absolutely. I think depending on, first of all, the pocket that you're looking to purchase in, the size of the home, the semi-detached, the townhouses, they turn very quickly, of course. And the smaller singles, you can definitely cash flow those positive. No problem. No problem.
And
if you are bringing, like I said, a lot of professionals are coming into the area, the average household income is over $100,000.
Wow.
So you're definitely doing fine from a cash flow perspective.
So why are they renting versus buying?
You know, some people, because the younger professionals are coming in, they don't have enough yet for a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, work has moved, they're new into the area. There are a variety of reasons. And there's a lot of people who just want to come up here. You don't have, like in the newer subdivision, there aren't a lot of properties available. In Caledon East Market, for instance, right now, there are 3 houses on the market. That is it.
Wow.
So if you're coming in, you're looking for property, harder to find. If there's a rental, I know that I placed people in rentals just because it was a good stepping stone for them while they were waiting for either a new build or an opportunity to get into the newer development. So demand is high.
That's great. You also mentioned transportation and transportation improvements. What does that look like right now? And what do you foresee in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of accessibility?
Well, transportation, you really do need a car to get around. There aren't a lot of buses. However, in the neighboring area in Bolton, which is still part of Caledon, which is around 10 to 15 minutes away from Caledon East, there's the GO Transit bus system, which will take you downtown to Union Station. and also into the Malton GO station. So, you know, you don't really have to have a long commute by car. If you're heading into downtown, there's an easy way to get through. There's definitely a planning in place to widen Highway 50, for instance, and most people will come down from Highway 50, the Highway 410 or Airport Road. So there's definitely planning already in play to widen Mayfield, Highway 50, have designated truck routes. And they're looking to extend Highway 427 up to Highway 9, which is going to be fantastic. So anybody in the northern part of town will be able to jump on the highway quite easily. And that's coming, anticipated for the next couple of years, but it will be here soon.
So definitely still a good time to get into that market and
for sure
get ahead of that growth.
Absolutely.
What about unemployment rate? Do you have an idea of what that is in Caledon?
Yeah, the unemployment rate is sitting at actually quite similar probably to the rest of, you know, the Ontario population, but it's sitting around 6.5%. So not terribly high, but again, you're looking at most people who are commuting. You do have commercial businesses. As I mentioned, there's around 2,900 businesses in the Caledon area. Some of the highlighted ones are Husky Injection Molding, for instance, they're in Bolton. You have Mars Canada, which I know you're familiar with.
Yes, I am.
Ackland's Grangers there, and Metro Logistics opened a very large, probably one of the largest logistics hubs right in the beginning part of Caledon. So as you're coming in past Mayfield on Airport Road. So a lot of new businesses coming in for sure, but within the next 5 years with, you know, the new development and the plan of another added million square feet of commercial space, you know, we're going to see the injection of another, or proposing anyway, 5,900 jobs. So it's definitely going to improve.
That's great. So it'll be maybe less of a bedroom community and more people will live and work in the city?
Yeah, they're looking to do that. They're looking to, you know, try and provide more support as well. Another thing that they're looking to change too is they do recognize that, you know, the younger people who are just breaking into the workforce, or maybe in the lower salary range per household, like in the 60,000, 70,000 salary range per household, they're looking at filling a gap because there is a gap right now for housing in that type of bracket. So they're working on that. And they're also looking to help seniors as well. We have an aging population here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the average age is about 39 years. But okay. We have a lot of the farmers who have had their land for 50 plus years and they're looking to retire. So land is becoming available to do further development, and also our seniors are going to require more help with housing. So there's a plan in place to start looking at what do we do with that and how do we start developing to support the younger generation as well as the older generation.
There's definitely going to be that demand for nice, clean senior residences. And I think there's going to be a big shortage in the next
Absolutely.
Few years.
Absolutely.
So are there any areas that are prone to crime or not as well-liked for investors to stay away from?
Well, here's the great thing about Caledon. We've been dubbed as the safest city in Canada to live in. Crime is far below the national average. So there really isn't a bad area. I think typically, you know, just like anybody, you use your common sense and judgment when you're going out at night as you would anywhere else. For the most part, it's really a safe area to live in. From an investment perspective, there really isn't a bad area. If you're, you know, looking for greater return, I find that the northern part of Caledon, as you're coming up to Highway 9 and some of the commercial areas, are a little bit slower when it comes to sales, and the return on investment isn't as high. And I think that just goes with just about any other industry as well. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, if you're staying more in the newer community or in the heavier populated area, residential neighborhoods, then you're doing quite well.
I had a friend that was buying pre-construction in Milton, and when she puts the new properties for rent, they are basically going to a rental bidding war. Is that happening in Caledon?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because the bidding wars were quite prevalent right up until probably first, second week of June. We were, you know, properties, as I mentioned, the demand is very high and there isn't a lot coming up on the market. So when they do, they tend to move rather quickly. And houses they're selling about 100 to 150,000 above list. And the rentals as well were flying off the market. So they weren't staying on. Within 3-4 days, they're gone. And they're usually competing. The market is softening a little bit, especially moving into July. And I don't think that's per se Caledon. I think what's going on in general for the
real estate
market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing a slowdown, which is more common with the summer months, but with the new, I guess, slight hike in interest rate going up 0.75%, buyers are slowing down a little bit. And, you know, there's rumor of a bubble, which I don't believe is going to happen for a variety of reasons. You know, our unemployment rate has come down to 6.5%. It's not at 6.8, and it's hovering there before, so it's come down a little bit. Our interest rates are still very, very conservative, and the Ontario plan, for the most part, is really putting a tax on foreign investment and doing nothing for local investors. So not much changes in that regard, and I expect things to come right back up in the next few months.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's definitely the media that likes to say and talk about a bubble, but that's what sells stories, I guess. But there's still, like you said, the fundamentals and even immigration. I mean, we still have, you know, is it 400,000 people in the country every single year that come through, and well, the majority of them are going into the GTA, including Caledon. So there's just some fundamentals there that, you know, make us think that there is not going to be a bubble per se, but more of a maybe softening or not going up as high each year as the past few years.
Yeah, I don't see the market, like I mentioned, crashing or prices falling dramatically. I know people are waiting and buyers are a little bit weary because they think, you know, if I just hold on another couple months, you know, the houses are going to drop a couple $100,000. I've been hearing a variety of stories. I don't see that happening. I think you are going to always be able to find deals, you know, if there's divorces going on or special circumstances where people are forced to sell, obviously you can find a deal. But I think all in all, the market might soften. So maybe this year we had a 30% year on year growth. Maybe we're going to see 20% next year, or maybe it will be a little bit softer, but I don't see prices necessarily falling.
And that's what you predict in the next 5 years or so as well?
No, I think by springtime 2018, we're right back to exactly where we're at. And I think 5 year time, we're definitely well over 60%. With all the development that's coming and people wanting to get out of GTA and wanting to get out of Brampton, and they're looking for, you know, a little bit more green space, affordable housing, and nice luxury property. Yeah, I can only see it going up, relatively speaking, when you look at the rest of the market. So I think 10-year, the forecast is about 107, but I think that's too conservative. I see it definitely climbing more than that.
Okay, that's great. So it's definitely a place to keep on one's radar.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, with all the development coming, you've got the transportation infrastructure that's going to be changing, making it easier to get into town. I definitely see, you know, really good opportunity if you're looking to invest. I think now's the perfect time. And then buy and hold strategy even flips on the smaller, older properties, and to get into the buy and hold strategy is definitely the way to go.
Okay. Now, are you still investing yourself as well?
I am, absolutely. I'm always looking for another opportunity. It's kind of funny, you know, we enjoy hanging out with our friends, going out and socializing and going to dinners and vacationing as much as we can. But whenever I'm off, I can't help but check out the market, whether I'm in, you know, the Caribbean, I'm off doing a real estate tour, or I'm looking here, or I'm looking there. So I'm always looking around without a doubt. I'm probably going to look at getting into more commercial real estate, bigger multi-unit complexes is where I probably want to go next.
Okay.
I've been doing more single family condominium market as well, because it's more hands off.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have a little bit more time, it's definitely something I want to do is get into the commercial areas.
Are you looking for commercial specifically in Caledon, or are you open to wherever you find a good property?
I'm open to wherever I can find a good property. I mean, Caledon would be great only because I know what's coming and where it's going. It's going to climb quite rapidly, but, you know, I'm definitely open to other markets as well. But this is one that I feel personally that it's really going to take off more so than where it has been, just given all the development and what's happening.
Okay, good. So you also mentioned condos, and I know there's always debate whether condos are a good investment. And do you want to go through a little bit about what your thoughts are on condo investing?
Absolutely. So anyone who's looking to get into the market, if they can't afford to get into, you know, a townhouse or a single family, I mean, the townhouse market, I find, is always a sweet spot if you're looking for, like if you're up in this area, because it's more affordable, it turns quickly, you have quick exit strategy. Single families are also great because you'll have a greater return on your investment. But if you can't afford to do that, then break into the condo market, as at least you're doing something. And I think it's better to park your money somewhere in real estate than nowhere. So I think it's still possible. There are opportunities. I've been very fortunate. I've purchased some condos and I have really good cash flow and return on investment. It's harder to do with condominiums, and your return on investment when you sell will always be a little bit less than it was in opposed to like a townhouse or a single family. But depending on your lifestyle, what you're doing, I was traveling quite extensively for a little while. So I needed something where I could park some money that was more hands-off, and it was a really easy investment in that regard. So I ended up buying a few of them. Like I said, if you're prepared to, you know, use it as maybe an additional investment, I wouldn't make condos your primary investment. There's still an opportunity to make money in cash flow. But something I find that's really important to note, if you want a cash flow positive and really have a handle on that investment, it's better to stay away from new builds as opposed to, let's say, condominiums that are 4 or 5 years old.
Why?
And I say that because by then you really have a strong, one, indication of where the reserve fund is going. If it's a sound investment, but if it's 4 or 5 years old, you already know what's happening. The market is fairly realistic when you're looking to purchase. And I find that if you're buying a new build, often developers will demand high capital up front, and the building may not be ready for 2 or 3 years, so you're stuck waiting. And then chances are, if the market changes, the valuations could drop. And I've seen this happen a few times where, you know, young people coming in trying to buy have actually lost investment because the bank at the last possible minute has decided they're no longer going to, you know, approve the financing. So it's a lot riskier. Plus, I'd like to know what my return is, what the numbers look like right away, as opposed to waiting 3 years and the market could turn. I'm just not as sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned pushing the closing 2+ years or whatnot. I mean, that happens a lot where you're set to close on a certain day, but they're not going to be finished in time and they keep pushing it. It sounds like it's something that's really common.
It is in the condo market. I've talked to a lot of bank managers and listened to their perspective as well. And they've told me, especially this past year, and last year, there was quite a few, you know, new first-time buyers coming into the market. They put $80,000 to $90,000 of their money down, which is quite high. You should never have to put that much down, especially if you're doing a new build. And the market turned, so the valuations were no longer as high as when they purchased. So the bank refused to give them full financing. They had to come up with another $40,000-$50,000 of their own money. And many of them lost out on their deposit and weren't able to close. So it's definitely riskier.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I would always personally be a little bit concerned about are those special assessments. Has that happened to you where the condo board decides that they want to redo the furniture or something and then they ask for everybody to fork out money?
It hasn't happened to me. I've been very cautious with, as I mentioned, what I've developed in, checked out the reserve fund and made sure it was very healthy, and also requested, you know, the 5-year, 10-year plan, kind of what their expectations are. But I know of people who have had to put out $5,000 of their own money for roof or, you know, new paving or windows and things like that because the reserve wasn't as healthy and they didn't have maybe enough experience to do proper due diligence before they made the purchase. So it does happen.
Right. And so how would somebody go and find that information out?
Well, I think it's important to work with a realtor who knows what they're talking about, you know, has your best interest, knows key questions to ask, make sure the status certificate is being validated through your lawyers. But it's important not to work with any lawyer. It's better to work with somebody who really specializes and then really shows you the numbers. Like, don't take for granted that a professional who you're hiring is going to give you all the insight. I think you should also take part in understanding the numbers, what the numbers look like, what's planned in terms of work that has to be done, how much money is sitting in reserve. And you can also request the budget to see how much, like if there was work planned, what is that work going to cost? And then how much money is sitting in reserve and how long will that money carry the, you know, the condominium through? And if you're coming up short, then definitely you want to stay away. So it's important to get, you know, a little bit more hands-on with the condominium, more so than maybe single family homes. It's very different, of course, but I think you need to be more hands-on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it's usually, unfortunately, the opposite. People think, oh, you know, I'm just going to buy a condo. It'll be easier. They go ahead and buy the condo and they don't even bother looking at any of that. And then unfortunately, they get unfortunate surprises, you know, a year or two down the road.
It's definitely more work up front when you're looking to do the purchase. But afterwards, like once you've done your due diligence and it's you know, in play in one regard, then you're hands off. Like, you really don't have to be as involved after that. If you find some good tenants and rent it out and you're cash flowing positive, for the most part, the local property manager and the condominium corporation takes care of any questions the tenant has, and you can kind of walk away for the most part. But you do have to do a little bit more due diligence and make sure you're hands-on involved in the upfront process with the purchase.
Right. And that's why talking to a knowledgeable realtor will definitely be beneficial for them.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything else on Caledon that you wanted to mention that we didn't discuss?
Well, I think it's a fantastic area to come into. You know, as I mentioned, there's a lot of land that there's an opportunity to come up for development. You do have to be somewhat cautious and make sure you do your due diligence with understanding the uses for the land. There are areas that are protected by the Oak Ridges of Moraine, so you do have to watch out for that. But for the most part, there's still a tremendous amount of opportunity. And the great thing, too, if you're looking for, let's say, a property to purchase and flip, the permit process isn't very cumbersome for the most part. They have a fast-track process, which you can actually get a permit within 5 days from your application date. So it's actually very fast for a basic residential type of project. So that would include, you know, interior renovation, garages, basements, putting a walk-up, for instance, decks, and that sort of thing. So in one regard, it's very easy to work with the city on simple projects. Obviously, commercial zoning and other types of things that you want to work on, you know, the timeline would be dependent on what else you're getting into. But the straightforward process for residential type stuff is quite easy.
That's great to know. It's always nice to work with a city that wants to make those improvements and make it as easy as possible to invest and renovate. Perfect. So the next part of our podcast is actually called the lightning round, where I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You can elaborate a little bit, but it'll just allow the listeners to get to know you a little bit better.
Okay, great.
So the first question is, what is your favorite real estate investing book?
Probably Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But I also read the Canadian Real Estate Wealth Magazine, which
has a very good one.
Quick tips and knowledge sharing in there as well.
Excellent. And what about your favorite podcast or YouTube video?
Well, I haven't really watched a lot of them, but I'd have to say most recently, definitely yours.
Okay. What about your favorite pastime? So outside of real estate investing, you mentioned travel, but what do you like to do for fun?
Basically, just getting together with friends, socializing, like networking, meeting new people, going out to dinner and entertaining for the most part. And we have a good network, and my family and I, we really enjoy spending time together with our friends.
Excellent. And hypothetically, if you lost all your money and your assets tomorrow, how would you start again?
Oh, we would hope that would never happen. But
no.
if it did, I would work on parting up with some more strategic partnerships, maybe joint ventures, and getting into more of the commercial space. I'd probably start there this time around.
Okay. Now, here's another question. If an investor has $50,000 to their name and they want to go ahead and invest, what would you suggest that they do?
Call me right away. That would be the first thing. But I would definitely, if they have $50,000 to invest and that money's ready to go, I would definitely recommend right away they get pre-approved to find out how much more they can get from the bank from a loan perspective if they're looking to, you know, be involved in the purchase. If they're looking just to give the money over and be a part of an investment, definitely give me a call. I'd be happy to pair them up with some other investors and see if we can find them, you know, property where they can cash flow positive on right away. Or depending if they want a quicker return, maybe they want to get into a flip strategy. But I can definitely help them and walk them through that.
Okay, excellent. And how can our listeners find you and reach out to you?
Well, they can email me. That's the easiest probably at goretti.raposo@century21.ca. So goretti.raposo@century21.ca. And they can also call me at 416-988-5808. And I'm happy to take any questions they have, you know, talk to them, walk them through, and help them put up a strategy in place to help them realize some of their goals.
Excellent. And any last final words of advice or tips for our listeners?
A couple important things, yes. First of all, people are always asking me, you know, let's start working on finding a property. Here's what I'm thinking. And I say, no, let's not do that. Let's first start by finding where are you from a financial perspective? Can you get pre-approved? I think it's really important that when an opportunity comes, you want to be ready to jump on that opportunity, especially if you're thinking of a flip. For instance, these properties are not going to sit on the market for long. Other investors in the area are looking to come and scoop them up. So it's really important to get financially approved, find out what your financial position is, talk to, you know, somebody who's got experience in investing, or give me a call and we talk about investment strategies, and then be prepared. So when the opportunity comes, you know, we want to know what your tolerance is, your risk tolerance is, and what your ideal return on investment percentage is and cap rate. And then once we know that, when the opportunity comes, you should be ready to jump. I think that's very important. Otherwise, you're talking about it, you're thinking about it, and the opportunity is gone by the time that you're ready. So that
Absolutely.
Would be important. One thing I forgot to mention, another great thing about Caledon is the school system here is fantastic. So there's public schools, there's extended French schools where, you know, kids can get into French immersion. They have all French. So if one of the parents is French speaking, you know, children would qualify to get into the 100% French program. And there's also, you know, schools for kids with disabilities. We have a full range here in the Catholic schools as well. Lots of good with high scores as well. So the school system is very, very good here.
Excellent. Well, you know, you've enlightened me a lot on Caledon, and I did not know much about that market, but it is very, very interesting, and I will be taking a closer look at it definitely. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and I hope that our listeners were able to learn more about Caledon.
Well, I thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking with you here today, and happy to help out. And if any listeners have any questions, by all means, feel free to give me a call, and I'll be happy to work with them on it.
Thanks so much for listening to Where Should I Invest with your host, Sarah Larvey. Make sure to listen in next time. We'll catch you on the next episode of Where Should I Invest?